When St. Louis County Assessor Jake Zimmerman looks at the current state of county government, all he sees are people bickering rather than trying to address its real challenges. He says his success in an important but lesser-known office makes him the best person to bring down the political temperature and start tackling problems. Zimmerman is one of three Democrats seeking the party's nomination for county executive. You'll be able to hear conversations with all of them. He joins me next on the latest episode of Politically Speaking. Let's hit the music.
This is the Politically Speaking podcast, the definitive show about Missouri politics.
We've seen a county government that has had smooth and steady leadership, and I think we're on a good path right now.
I realize the office needed a prosecutor to run it.
And we have a better solution of addressing those needs.
I don't think it's about a popularity contest. What I think it about is it's time for change.
Working together across city and county, across political affiliations, that we can start to find overlapping goals.
I had some moments where I had to lean into my courage.
You'll see us work together on areas of agreement, and you'll see us have difficult conversations when we don't agree.
And welcome to Politically Speaking. I'm your host, Rachel Lippman. Joining me today in studio is
Jake Zimmerman.
He is running for St. Louis County Executive, and he is currently the St. Louis County Assessor. And you have been a guest on Politically Speaking before, but for those who may not have listened before to your episode, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I think the thing to know about me is that I hold the most glamorous and, dare I say, sexy job in all of regional government. I mean, I know that public radio listeners far and wide, their hearts are set aflutter when they hear about the assessment of real and personal property.
A flutter in ways that you may not want, but yes.
Everybody loves the county assessor. No, I hold this, sometimes boring and sometimes not the most scintillating piece of work to be done. But I'll tell you what, it's a really, really important piece of your regional government. And yeah, if you get it wrong, people are going to be mad. They're going to be real mad. And when you think about everything going on in St. Louis County government and politics right now, and some of the bickering rather than substance that we need, one thing that I'm really proud of is that I've done this boring and non-sexy job, and I've done it with integrity and with decency and with responsiveness for many years now. And, you asked me to say a little bit about me. So I'm the first elected assessor in St. Louis County in over 50 years. There was a vote of the people to make it an elected office back in 2010 because there had been scandals in the office, drive-by assessments, and other such nonsense. And so at the time, I was a state legislator. I represented the communities of Overland, Olivet, and University City. And I ran for this office trying to clean up a mess, and I take some pride in what we've done since then.
Why are you taking a second bite at the St. Louis County Executive apple? You did run in 2020 for what would have been to fill out the rest of Steve Stanger's term.
When I see a mess, I just have a certain instinct to want to make it better. And you referenced 2020 when Steve Stanger was dragged out in handcuffs, not exactly a moment when county government clothed itself in glory. And I'm sorry to say that county government also has not covered itself in glory and wisdom these last couple of years. When I look at the very real substantive challenges that people face in St. Louis County, and when I look at all of the stuff that needs to be fixed and the wrongs that need to be righted in county government, and I see elected officials just squabbling with one another over nonsense, right? That triggers something in me, right? I think we can do better, and I think the people of the region deserve better, and that's what motivates me to give this a shot.
You did wait until Dr. Page announced he was not seeking re-election to make the announcement that you were running for the office. Did his resignation change your political calculus at all?
I make my decisions based on where I think I have the opportunity to serve and whether I think my life can make a difference. Right? People in this community, my experience is they don't care that much which politician is up and which politician is down, just like they don't care who started it and who said what mean thing about whom first. So I'm very much aware that opinions run strong about Dr. Page. But what I'd like to see is us take all the love and all the hate down a notch and get away from some of that politics of personality and just get back to doing the work.
But for you personally and your decision and what 2026 looked like for you, did the fact that he was not running for re-election change whether you sought re-election to your office or whether you decided to go and enter another race?
It was a tough decision not to seek re-election to my office. You know, I've been the county assessor for quite some time, and I take a lot of pride in running an office that has been, I like to think, a port in the storm in county government. And look, this is a hard thing, right? You've got two other very serious candidates for this office just in the Democratic primary. And so I didn't decide lightly to jump off this cliff. But at the end of the day, the reason I made that decision didn't have to do with any other politician. The reason I made that decision is because I see challenges. I see a region that's hurting. I see a government that is not up to its full potential. And I think we have to do better.
So what would you do to fix some of the challenges that you just outlined? How would Jake Zimmerman govern St. Louis County?
Look, if you know me, if you know Jake Zimmerman, you know that I'm not the flashiest or the coolest guy in town, right? But I want to suggest to you that a little bit of boring and a little bit of nerdy wonkiness might be exactly what we need right now. The number one thing that St. Louis County government requires is to take down the temperature, to have just a little bit less of the talking and a little bit more of the doing. And that's what I like to think I bring to the table.
One of the big issues and the challenges that St. Louis County and a lot of other governments are facing is the budget situation. Where does the responsibility for that lie? Is it solely the executive? Is it solely the council? Who's to blame and how do you get out of it?
Everyone's to blame, and everyone over more than a decade. And having said that, let me also say the next thing, which is that I also am not interested in pointing fingers here. Politicians from both parties and on both sides of various rivalries collectively decided not to decide, collectively spent one-time money again and again to fill a budget problem rather than fix the fundamental challenge. The fundamental challenge is that for years now, St. Louis County has had less money coming in the door on a yearly basis than what goes out the door. And anybody who has ever balanced a household budget, anybody who's ever run a small business, knows that that is not sustainable. For years now, the politicians, again, on both sides, have found ways to spend one-time money. You know, pennies fell from the heavens. In each case, some one-time money showed up, and rather than use it for a one-time purpose, the politicians spent it to cover the budget hole. And that's how what used to be a $10 million or a $20 million budget hole became an $80 million budget hole. I don't care whose fault it is. What I care is that we work together to stop yelling at one another and fix it.
So you talk about not yelling at people and wanting to fix the budget, but as county executive, how do you, aside from, you know, not yelling at people and bringing down the tone, what's the steps to getting those two numbers closer together?
That's a very astute question because doing the principled part of it right gets you to the table, but it doesn't get you to the end of the process. But right now, no one's even sitting at the table. And so I recognize the giant challenge ahead, and I recognize that trying to have a calm demeanor and not throw mud at other elected officials and not being afraid to be a little bit of a nerd and a little bit of a wonk, I recognize that all that does is get you at the table. But by God, we got to get people at the table because right now they're all talking past each other. And these are big, serious challenges. Now, look, I could name you lots of areas in county government where I see real challenges that need to be fixed and money that's being wasted. To name you just one example, the Department of Revenue spent millions of dollars on a new computer system that doesn't work very well, makes it harder for people to pay their taxes and get customer service. not spending those millions of dollars would be a really, really good step, because the punchline was, if you look at what happened this past year, you had senior citizens waiting in two-hour lines outside in the bitter winter cold just trying to pay their taxes. And then, after that, these checks for people trying to pay their taxes the old-fashioned way sat in crates and boxes and went undeposited for months. So a government that is facing a real financial challenge spends too much money just trying to help people pay the bills and then doesn't deposit the money when it comes in. Right. When you see that, that's how you know that there is some real dysfunction going on. And fixing that kind of stuff is job one.
So you get to the table and you are able to have the conversation. What does your side of the conversation look like? What are you saying? These are my red lines when it comes to the budget. I will not cross them. Here are the areas where we can compromise.
I hesitate to declare red lines. I think right now everyone is declaring red lines and everyone is trying to find a way to pin the tough choices on somebody else. I am very mindful that there's tough choices that are going to have to get made here, right? When you have less money coming in than what's going out, you have to figure out what's really a priority and what isn't. What I can say is I think I bring something to the party here that nobody else you'll talk to in this race has. And that's that I've actually had to do this before. When I came into this office, when I was first elected assessor, the balance in the assessor's budget was going in the wrong direction. I inherited an office where the budget was in the red. And today that's not true. Today it's in the black. And it wasn't an easy thing to do. And there were no pennies from heaven there to rescue us, because the assessment fund is a standalone piece of county government. I have a bank account, and if I spend that bank account down to zero, no one will bail me out. There is no county council appropriation to find extra money, right? So I had to make some difficult decisions about what positions you don't fill. I had to talk to my staff about the differences between needs and wants. When you're fighting those big boys in court, you'd always rather have another outside appraisal. When you're having appraisers visit people out there in the community, you'd always rather have more staff to do the customer service and a million other things like that. But running a government agency is just like running a household, and it's just like running a business. You got needs and you got wants, and you have to prioritize. And the other thing that I did in those early days in the assessor's office that I think is a pretty good roadmap for what needs to happen in the county as a whole, is I didn't start off with dictates. To use your words, I didn't start off with red lines. Instead, I talked to the subject matter experts and I asked them what they needed to have, what they wanted to fight for, and then we talked it out until we got to the right answer. And I don't think there's enough talking it out happening right now. It's not happening between council members. It's not happening between department heads. Everyone's too busy trying to take their shots.
To use your words then, what would be your priorities in a budget as you sit down at the table and have the conversations?
That's a super fair question. County government exists first and foremost to protect the people and to provide basic services to the people. And when you think about things like public safety, like the county police department, when you think about the parks, when you think about the vital public health services that the county provides, all that stuff is mission critical. And it's really, really important to protect that. Will tough choices have to be made along the line? Yeah, I expect that they will. But I remember what happened when a prior county executive tried to sell off a park. And I remember what happened when another prior county executive decided to prioritize no-bid contracts for his political donors over making sure that basic services were being met and making sure that county employees were paid appropriately. So steering clear of those kinds of traps and protecting those critical public services we provide, I think that's awfully important. And then following on that, and this is a vaguer response, and it sounds like something a politician would say, but I still think it's important to stick a pin in it. And that's that the other part of the job of county government is to be the economic development cheerleader for the county and indeed for the region, right? It's not just enough to make sure that the cops are on the beat and to make sure that the grass is watered in the parks and to make sure that the potholes are filled. If you want to grow this economy, if you want the pie to be bigger rather than fighting for slices of it, then you have to believe in the region. You have to relentlessly go out and sell the region. We have to not be shy about pushing for wins like those new international flights at the airport, right? The county played a big role in that. And if what you want at the end of the day is a thriving and successful region, then we need that regional focus, and we can't lose sight of the economic development piece of the job.
So one of the most tempting one-time pots of money out there is what remains of St. Louis County's share of the Rams settlement funds. What are some of the one-time expenses that you think a pot of money like the St. Louis Rams settlement should be used for?
I think that I want to be careful in answering this question because I am open to lots of possibilities as long as we don't do the wrong thing. I think that there's 8 different answers of what the right thing could be, because when you have a transformational amount of money, you want to spend it on something transformational. Could something transformational be a major jobs and economic development program? Yes. Could it be a building or some other capital expenditure? Yes. Could it be something sustainable that helps with a critical public safety need? Yes. All of those are good potential answers and answers that other elected officials are entitled to have something to say about. So I think if I'm going to be the steward of public resources, the most important place to draw the red line is to say, don't do the wrong thing. And the wrong thing is burning the furniture to keep warm. And the thing that worries me a lot, because I've seen past elected officials come and go and fall to the temptation to do this again and again, is to just put off the problem till next year. Just spend a little bit of money you got sitting in the bank account. Figure it out later. We are at the end of the road. There are no more pennies from heaven after the Rams money. If you spend down that money with nothing to show for it, I think the people will be mad as hell in about 18 months when the money is gone.
Hyperscale data centers are a big conversation around kind of the development and economic development space. Where do you stand on what that should look like in St. Louis County?
Well, the question is less where I stand and more where the people stand, right? When you get people hopping mad, it's usually because a developer or a local elected official tried to shove something down the voters' throats without consulting them first. And, you know, we can talk about regionalism later because I bet you'll want to. And
next question, actually.
Oh, how about that? And I'll say something similar about why Better Together failed, right? Better Together failed because well-meaning people tried to shove it down the voters' throats. And so my principle, beyond the basic principle, which is that the people decide, period, full stop, is that you shouldn't be doing these kinds of developments without a very clear plan for how you make sure that the energy bill doesn't go up for everybody else, for how you make sure that the water bill doesn't go up for everybody else, and for how you make sure that you don't create a nuisance, a noise problem, or anything else. And then the other thing that I always like to say is that a good organizing principle is before you say yes to any such large proposal, think about Beyonce. And I use Beyonce as a little acronym, a little mnemonic device for bring your own clean energy. And if a developer doesn't have a response to the Beyonce question, then I'm going to want them to come back to the table.
Is there enough appetite at the St. Louis County Council or with other bodies you would have to work with to put a framework like that into effect? Are enough people, you know, you think down for the Beyonce principle and the other things you've laid out as a framework?
Well, I think there'd better be, right? Because if there isn't, then ultimately the answer is going to be no. And whether the answer comes from a guy like me or whether the answer comes from people in the community who will get justifiably outraged, right? If you're a developer and you want to sell this to the community, you want to show us why it's good for us. And if you're not prepared to show us why it's good for us, and if you're not prepared to show us why I, the average person living nearby one of these things, come out better in the long run, then I'm not interested in what you're selling.
We may be hearing the voice of, I don't know how old she is, little kid in the background. We do apologize for that. It's a working mother situation. And you know what? I'm guessing you support working mothers and everything that you're doing here.
Hey, just because babies can't vote doesn't mean that as an elected official, it's my job to work for their future and for the future of everyone in this community.
I promised a question about regionalism. Here it is. Does the region need more regionalism?
The region clearly doesn't need any more of the fragmented government and the overlapping taxing districts that we already have, right? So almost by definition, we need more of a regional mindset. But, you know, the devil's in the details. What does that mean? Like we just talked about, Better Together failed for a reason. And the reason was partly an attempt to make Steve Stenger the grand poobah of everything. And, of course, he turned out to be a criminal. But more broadly than that, so-called reform that you try to shove down the people's throats rarely ends well. And so my principle for any conversation about regionalism, and I want to be clear that this is the same whether you're talking about cooperating with the city of St. Louis or whether you're talking about our peers in St. Charles County and Jefferson County or whether you're talking about the many overlapping fire districts and municipalities and TDDs and SIDs and everything else in St. Louis County, is if you have a reform proposal, what I want to know is what does it do for my parks and what does it do for my potholes? You show me how it gets us a better deal and gives us better services and saves us some money. Great. I'm the first guy out there collecting signatures. But the thing that I'm always skeptical of is when folks in the region go looking for one weird trick. We can solve all the problems with one weird trick. Just snap your fingers, trust me, and say yes. I grew up watching the Cardinals play under Whitey Herzog. And
I feel like there's a Whitey ball analogy coming
in
here.
That's exactly where we're going, right? I don't understand why some regional leaders are so scared of Whitey ball. I feel like sometimes everyone is just waiting for the home run. And once every 10 years, people try to hit the home run. And if they don't get it over the fence, then we all go retreat into our regional inferiority complex and complain to one another about how St. Louis never does anything. And in the meantime, there's so many singles we could have been trying to hit. There's so many ways we could save the taxpayers a few bucks and make things a little bit more rational. You know, when I see some of the cities in St. Louis County talking about being constructive and combining some fire services, if it gets you faster fire response, then that seems like a good idea. How many 911 dispatches do we have? Do we need fewer of them? The answer to that question is not how many 911 dispatches do we have. The answer to the question is, how do I get you the call picked up on the first ring instead of the second? And how do I get the fire truck or the ambulance at your house in 30 seconds instead of 45 seconds? If we used those kinds of principles for the regionalism conversation, I think we'd find a lot of ways to work with each other.
The council does not seem interested in the conversation about regionalism. So how do you even start when the legislative body doesn't seem to want to have the conversation?
I think that the council is desperately ready to push the reset button on a whole bunch of conversations and a whole bunch of relationships. And this comes back to what I was saying before about how I'm sort of not interested in litigating the question of who loves Sam Page and who hates Sam Page. I think everybody would like to stop fighting with one another. And I am cautiously optimistic that if we can take down the temperature and if we can get folks treating one another with respect once more, then some of these conversations open up. And does that mean that people are going to magically sit in a room and all agree on any one solution to regional problems? Like, of course not. Democrats are going to think what Democrats think. Republicans are going to think what Republicans think. And that's okay. The question is, can we talk to each other? Can we figure out where there are areas of agreement, where we can give the taxpayer a better value and get the taxpayer better services?
So St. Louis County either has to do a major retrofit to get its current headquarters up to code so you guys can stay in the building at 41 South Central, or you've got to go elsewhere. How do you address the problem? What do you think is the solution to finding St. Louis County a home?
Man, Rachel, I'm going to sound like a broken record here, right? Because this is symptomatic of all the other stuff we've been talking about. On the list of things that should be the source of political controversy, what your building is? Like, come on. No taxpayer in this community, no citizen, wakes up in the morning and thinks that it's great news that elected officials are fighting with one another about whether and when to leave a building and whether to build another one or buy another one or lease another one. The citizen doesn't care. What the citizen cares about is, how can I get public services effectively? Are you going to give me a bad parking situation? Am I going to have to wait in a line outside in the cold if I just need help with my personal property bill? So I just find it endlessly frustrating and borderline maddening that the politicians right now can't even agree with each other on what the price tag is. No one can agree on how much it would even cost to retrofit the county government building to get the asbestos out and put in the sprinklers. So let's get everybody at the table and let's figure out what numbers each side is working off of so that everyone can reach agreement, because that's how you get to the answer. Is the right answer to buy a building? Is the right answer to lease some space? Is the right answer to tear that thing down to the ground? Or is the right answer to sell it and try and move two blocks away? I don't know. But the important thing is that the right answer is to get the taxpayers the best possible bang for their buck. What I want is the best deal, because this is your tax dollars being spent. And the moment it turns into a vanity project, or the moment it turns into the building has to be this way because it was my idea and not your idea, I just worry that that leads us down a road to disaster.
So a lot of what you're saying troubles the county is just the temperature of the politics right now between the executive and the legislative branches. But the dynamic where the council and the executive have a honeymoon period and then get at each other's throats goes all the way back to Charlie Dooley in 2014. Why do you think you're the person to break that cycle?
Because I think that in a democracy, usually what you find yourself looking for is the opposite of the thing you have now that is wrong. And the thing that is wrong in St. Louis County right now, and dare I say the thing that is wrong in America right now, is the chaos. Look, I'm a Democrat. I'm no big fan of Donald Trump. I'm no fan of the shambolic way the federal government is being run right now. But this is not a partisan thing. And I think whether you're a Democrat or a Republican or somewhere in the middle, you probably ought to look at some of the craziness out of both political parties and some of the nonsense out of Washington, D.C., and see that being reflected through a funhouse mirror when you look at the antics in St. Louis County politics. I'm not asking for St. Louis County to turn into the ancient Athenian polis. I'm just asking for there not to be fistfights in the hallways anymore. I think that's a pretty reasonable thing to want. So why am I the guy to do it? Because if ever someone who may not be cool and is clearly a little bit of a dork and who is clearly a little bit wonkier and nerdier than your average silver-tongued devil in politics, if ever there was a moment when that might be the prescription for what we need, I really think this is that moment. You know, I'm sorry, but the product I have for sale is just a little bit different than maybe what you get out of some elected officials. But the thing you do get out of me is a commitment to put my head down and do the work, and also a willingness to bury the ego a little bit, to not care who gets the credit as long as the job gets done. I just think that's what we need right now.
You've run the assessor's office without a lot of scandals, but there are people who are just mad at their property tax bills going up. How much do you think those frustrations, which don't really have anything to do with your positions as county executive, will have on this race?
I think that I have a record, and it's a record you can judge me by, and it's an advantage I have over my peers in this race, right? All three of us have been elected officials. All three of us have served in the legislature. All three of us have voted yes on stuff we thought was good bills and stuff, and voted no on stuff we thought was bad bills. But only one of us has actually run a complicated piece of regional government and taken the heat when people don't like the answer. I am very, very used to being yelled at. I am very used to people not loving what they hear out of my office. And one thing that I believe, and I believe it deep in my gut, is that even though I am in elected office, and in politics they say your job is to make the voters happy, but you elected me to do a hard job. And that hard job is to tell people what I think their houses could actually sell for on the open market. And sometimes people will be really happy with the answer to that question, and sometimes they'll be unhappy. And there's a flip side of that, too, which is that when you pay those property taxes, you know, they don't go to me, they don't go to the county. By and large, they go to the school district and the fire department. Well, depending on what I have to say about the home values, I can tell you, sometimes the school districts are happy, and sometimes they are unhappy, and sometimes the fire departments are happy, and sometimes they are unhappy. And one of the things I have learned doing this job is that your job isn't to make people happy. Your job is to tell the truth. Your job is to do the work honestly, call the balls and strikes as an umpire would, not as a player trying to hit the ball over the fence, and let the chips fall where they may. Now, again, I recognize that that's not the sexiest answer. And sure, maybe I could have made life easier in a couple of elections if I'd found a way to just, you know, say yes to everybody, give everybody what they want, and maybe just conveniently lower all the values a little bit right before the election. But I'm just not cut from that cloth. You ask me to do a job, and I'm going to do that job honestly. And with everything that we've seen in St. Louis County government, I want to suggest that maybe that's what we need right now.
Do you believe that both of your opponents got into this race for the, quote, right reasons?
As far as I know, both of them, in my experience, are honorable public servants. Both of them are good state senators. You know, I could quibble with either of their voting records on any individual thing, and maybe we'll talk about that as the campaign goes along. But I think that each of them gets up in the morning and believes they would be a good leader and wants to make St. Louis County better. I just happen to think I have a little bit more relevant experience at what it is that we need right now.
There are some ways in which St. Louis County's outcomes are controlled by people who don't really like democratically governed areas, federal government, state government. How do you, as the county executive, work within that political dynamic to protect your priorities, but also recognize the reality of the situation in which St. Louis County exists?
Yeah, this is a rough one. The more so because this isn't really a partisan job, right? I'm a Democrat. I'm a staunch Democrat. Ask me what I think about a woman's reproductive rights, and I will tell you. But when you think about 88% of what the county executive does, there's not a Democratic or a Republican way to clean up a park, and there's not a Democratic or a Republican way to clear snow. But yeah, you turn something into partisan warfare, and there's always somebody ready for the other side of that fight. And look, I have some pretty strongly held opinions about what's going on in Jefferson City. I've been in Jefferson City. I know what happens in that town. And when I see politicians threatening a woman's right to make her own decisions about her own body, when I see politicians trying to take away our right to control our future with the initiative petition, when I see those politicians trying to cheat people out of their right to vote, the most fundamental right that there is in society, yeah, sometimes my dander gets up, and I'm not shy about speaking up about that. I don't think you respond to bullies by being a wallflower and burying your head. But I also think that our job is to work with our peers in state government and, for that matter, the federal government to get what we need for this region. The obvious example there is the shameful failure of the Trump administration to send tornado relief to the city of St. Louis. And as best I can tell, it's just political gamesmanship. It's just trying to punish places that are run by Democrats. I will do whatever I need to get this region our fair share. And if that means standing up and fighting and calling out that kind of nonsense, then I will do it. But if what the job requires is working cooperatively and taking down the temperature and putting aside partisan tensions and saying, Governor, you and I might disagree on a whole bunch of moral issues, but we're both committed to growing the economy of St. Louis, so let's work together, then I'm here to do that too.
Are there other races on the ballot that you're watching that you think may play out in yours or impact yours in any way?
Well, I think the obvious thing to talk about there would be those statewide ballot initiatives, and I alluded to them earlier. But I am very concerned about attempts to take away the right of the people to control their destiny. And I'm also concerned about the so-called everything tax proposal that I see on the ballot here. If the voters of the state of Missouri vote in August to eliminate the state income tax and in return allow for property taxes and sales taxes to be jacked up for years to come, that'll have big consequences for this region and big consequences for the job that I'm asking to do. And so, yeah, I do have a personal opinion there, which is that I hope the voters don't do that. I hope the voters don't do that in part because I don't want to see sales taxes on services imposed in this state. I don't want to see high sales taxes on food and basic needs and higher property taxes at the expense of cutting income taxes for some of the wealthiest people in this state. I think it would be a bad deal for a lot of people in our community. But I also think you'd jack sales taxes up and jack property taxes up, there's going to be real consequences for local government, and it's going to make it harder and not easier to solve those budget problems we talked about before. So, yeah, I think it's a big deal.
Are you going to have the resources you need to get the message out through traditional campaigning with all the other races going on, taking up the airtime, pushing up the prices, doing what usually happens in these competitive election years?
As I can see from your face, and our listeners cannot see, you have a wry look on your face as if to say, you know, this is always an issue every 2 and every 4 years, because it always is. And so give you the same answer I always give you, which is I'm proud that I've done the work to run a campaign that is firing on all cylinders and that we'll be able to do what we need to do to talk to the people. But at the end of the day, no voter cares about how many resources there are in your campaign. What they care about is, what have you done for me lately? What are you going to do to make my life better? You can have the best TV ads in town, but if you're not selling a product that people want to buy, then there's no point in it. And at the end of the rainbow, what people should want out of their county government is a willingness to just make things a little bit better and spend less time worried about political point scoring and more time worrying about the parks and the health department and the streets.
Politically Speaking is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, which is part of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. County Assessor Jake Zimmerman, County Executive Candidate Jake Zimmerman. Anything else you'd like to add today?
That it's incredibly important to vote and do your civic duty. If you don't show up, even in a low turnout August 4th election like this, what you're saying is somebody else gets to make these decisions for me. This is the first time in decades that there has been an open seat for this office with no incumbent running. Not since the Republicans were in charge in St. Louis County was that true. You get one chance to shape your future. And, you know, if you like what you heard, then maybe I should say it again. I'm Jake Zimmerman, and I'd be honored to earn your vote as county executive.
Until next time, so long.
Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, providing exterior solutions for homes with faded, cracked, or outdated siding. Details at callmosby.com.